Right to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The title of my message tonight is Positions Changed. It gets into an issue about what you were and who you are now. And in our text tonight, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, there's been many a message preached on this. It should be a familiar passage to Christians. And it goes like this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'd like everybody just to take a second and reflect what that really means. How much God loves us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we, present tense. Amen. Not past tense. Not future tense, present tense. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Won't that be a glorious thought?
Amen.
Won't that be a glorious event when we could stand face to face with our Savior? Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, in way of introduction, when someone is led to Christ, that's the start of a journey. And then they need to be discipled. And when I am discipling someone who's found faith in Christ, the very first book I tell them to go to is James. And start reading the book of James and keep on reading it for several weeks. And if you have any questions, and see how things get applied. And see how things actually work for what faith is. Because James talks about faith and what it really means. The second book I tell people to read is 1 John. There is a great benefit to the study of the book of 1 John. First of all, it is a letter to believers, just like us. It's a letter to Christians. He starts off in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. See, John was an eyewitness. He was an apostle. He was an eyewitness account of Christ. He saw Christ crucified. He was the only one there. He saw Him resurrected. He saw Him ascend. He saw all these things. And he says, I want to write this. Folks, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you see these things, it ought to burn inside of you to go out and tell other people. Here's the purpose, though, of the letter. That ye may also may what? Have fellowship with us. See, the big thing about fellowship with other Christians is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't tell me you're a Christian. Show me why. Tell me you came to a point in your life that you realized that you were a sinner, that you had no hope, that you were lost and condemned, and that you understood that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you accepted His forgiveness, and you accepted His substitution on the cross. Now He was buried and then He rose again, and you accepted eternal life through Him and Him alone. It's not about baptism. It's not about good works. It's about faith. It's about a relationship. It's not a religion. It says that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, 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 this is the basis for it right here. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't get to God the Father except you go through the Son.
Amen.
You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Nicodemus found that out. And you know, everybody lives a great Christian life, right? We have victory in everything we do. No, John talks to the worldly Christian also. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, he says, love not the world, Love not the world, Christian. What does that mean? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, it's displaced. You've got your affection on things of earth, not on things above. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Christ went through all three of these in the wilderness. And he overcome them all with the word of God. And by following the will of the Father. And you can too. Satan doesn't make you do it. The devil doesn't make you do it. You choose. We have a choice every day to live for him or not live for him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the benefit of the study of the book of John, 1 John, is to Christians. It can correct the worldly Christians. It can bring unity in the church because there's instruction to those that backbite. In 1 John 3:14, the same chapter that we're in right now, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto... You know, without Christ, you're dead. You may be alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. And that's what John's talking about here. He says, we know that we have passed from spiritual death into spiritual life because we what? Love the brethren. Get used to it. You got to love me. I got to love you. Two-way street. He that loveth not his brother abideth in what? Death. You're blinded. You're not doing the spiritual thing. Next, what's the benefit of the prophet of studying the book of 1 John? It helps doubt. How many of us have said, I really don't know if this is true or not? There's a lot of people that backslide. There's a lot of people that lose sight of what God's given them. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, it says this. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. That's present tense. We are the sons of God. We have life, spiritual life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's either or. You can't be both. These things, so he's concluding the book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, it's back to Jesus, or the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There should be no doubt. If you have doubt tonight, it's one of two things. Either you're not saved in the first place, or you've turned your back on God. And you've acted like a lost person. You forgot who you are. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Bottom line is, the letter of 1 John is a letter of love and judgment. You know, John referred to himself in the gospel as the disciple that Jesus loved. He got it. And when you read his letters, you see that love is the overarching thing. He also knows the judgment's coming. And we'll get into that later on. So tonight I want us to look at four things. First, the first three talks about the position of the Christian. Okay? And then the last one talks about the position of the lost person. The first thing is the position of the Christian with God the Father. We see here in our text, it says, beloved, what? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? Sons of God. See, we are the sons of God. And it's based on the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, herein is love. Not that we loved God. You can't get there first. You can't be better than God. He has to do it all. Salvation is a God thing. To accept it is a faith thing. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, or the paid in full amount for our sin debt. So you could pay for your debt with your own life and your own soul, or you can cast your care on Christ and accept His substitutionary death on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. See, the position that we have with God the Father is based on the love of God. It's based on receiving the power of God. John wrote a gospel. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as what? Received Him. To them gave He what? Power. Christians should not live defeated. We have a victory, even our faith. Christ said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Why aren't we doing the things that the early church did, folks? It's the same problem that the disciples had in the boat. Every time they had a storm and they cried out to Jesus, why are you fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them who what? Believe on His name. So our position with God the Father is based on His love. He loved us first. Now we're supposed to love Him back. It's based on His power. Without Him, we're powerless. It's based on being a joint heir with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You may be able to fool some people and have the facade of looking like you're a son of God, but deep down inside, you know if you have the Holy Spirit or not. You'll have peace, and it'll rule in your heart. And you'll be thankful. And we'll be in one body. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Present tense again. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with Him that we may be also glorified together. So the position of a Christian with God the Father is based on His love, is based on His power, is based on the fact that we are a joint heir with Christ. And it's a position that is permanent. God is not an Indian giver. He does not take back salvation. If you could lose it, tell me how. How much is enough to lose it? How much is enough to gain it back? You can't. This makes it simple. It's on faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that includes working to try to keep it. Okay? Paul, who called himself the chiefest of sinners. Paul, who went through shipwreck and jail and everything else. He writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, he says, for I am persuaded. Maybe some of you tonight need to be persuaded. Maybe you need to be committed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is what? Able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that what? Day. So Paul writes here, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. So that's things. And then you can't get away from His presence, nor height, nor depth. Or any creature. Okay, let's put this in. Do you think that that's an all-inclusive statement of anything that's in the universe today? Yeah. Everything in the universe fits into one of those categories. He says, nor height nor depth of any creature shall be what? Able. Might try, but won't win. This is our victory, even our faith. Able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John also writes in John chapter 10. He says, my Father which is above all gave them to me. We are in Jesus' hand. He says, my Father won. And no man's going to be able to pluck them out of my hand. So it's based on the love of God. He did it all. Based on the power of God. He does it all. Bound on being a position of joint heir with Christ. And it's a position that is permanent. It will not be taken away. That's called eternal security. And we believe in that concept in this church. Next is one of being clothed with Christ's righteousness. We see in Colossians and Ephesians, put off the old man and put on the new man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, talking about Christ, that we might be what? Made, which means without Christ, you're not. You have to be changed. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, it's all about Christ. It's all about God. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. It's all New Testament. We'll go back to the Old Testament. It says the same thing. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. See, our position in Christ, we're not just joint heirs. We're clothed with His righteousness. And we need to live like that to the day. We need to live worthy of the clothes that we have. Then lastly, the position that we have with God the Father puts us into a unique position in the spiritual realm. That unique position is that it is a position in which we can receive all spiritual blessings. Without Jesus Christ, you do not have salvation. Without Jesus Christ, you are not clothed in righteousness. Without Jesus Christ, you are not a joint heir of God. Without Jesus Christ, you have not experienced the love of God. Without Jesus Christ, you have not experienced the power of God. Without Jesus Christ, you can't experience blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in who? Christ. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. You know that course? He's all I need. So we see, first of all, that John writes about the position of the Christian with God the Father. The second thing that John writes about is the position of the Christian in this world. We kind of touched on it with the what not to do. But the thing that we need to understand is we need to understand how we are supposed to be in this world. We are not citizens of this world. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. Now, some people don't have to really act hard to get there. But this is a spiritual sense. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem us from all. How much iniquity? All of it. And purify unto himself a what? Peculiar people. Okay. In our text, basically, what did it say? That we are supposed, he that hath this hope in him, what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know what Christians need today? You know what churches need today? Churches and families need today? Purity.
Right. Amen.
You will be peculiar, because the world's not like that at all. So we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We've gone through the last couple of weeks and talked about that there's persecution. We will be a persecuted people too. John 15 verse 20. Christ is telling his disciples before he goes to the cross. This is the last night on earth. And he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. For the cause of Christ. Neath the banner of the cross. That's what we march under. That's who leads us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the position of the Christian in this world is to be a peculiar people. Not supposed to look like the world at all. It's going to be a persecuted people. We're going to have trials. You know what that does? It builds faith. It increases faith. It takes us out of our comfort zone. And what takes you out of and what's beyond you, that's where faith begins. Thirdly, we're supposed to be a separate people. Don't get aligned with the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that what fellowship does light have with darkness, or Christ have with Belial? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, a familiar passage says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate with the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. See, is that touching problem that gets everybody in trouble? Got Eve in trouble? Got Adam in trouble? We start touching things that we're not supposed to touch. Leave things to God that's God's, and don't get involved in it. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you. You can't go out and live in a bunch of sin and expect God to bless you or hear your prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and it talks about that too. So we're supposed to be a separate people. We're a recreated people. Okay? We're a recreated people. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, Nicodemus couldn't figure this one out. Christ said, you must be born again. He said, what do you mean? I have to go back and get born again? No. God changes you. God changes you. See, and if we're a recreated people, then we should have a natural process of spiritual growth. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. I guarantee you, there is no baby born that doesn't like milk. It doesn't desire milk. You know something? There should be no Christian created that wouldn't desire the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you don't desire the Word of God, there's something wrong.
Right.
That ye may what? Grow thereby. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, what are we supposed to do? May grow up into what? Him. In what? All things. Too many of us right now not surrender. We sing the song this morning, I surrender all. But is every part of our life surrendered to Him? It says in Colossians chapter 3 that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Here's a secret. If you're peculiar, if you're trying to live a pure life, if you're separated, if you're recreated, then the world's going to drop you. The world's going to drop you. And the worldly crowd is not dropping you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, for the time past, this is what we were. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have what? Wrought the will of the Gentiles. Okay? When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. When we were in the world, we were party people. That's verse 3. That's before. This is after. Wherein they think it strange that you what? Run not with them. The party stops. It's time to glorify God. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of what? Riot. Speaking evil of you. If you have worldly friends, you get saved, you start living for God, the first thing out of their mouth, what happened to you? What got into you? Why are you different? If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Old things are passed away. So we're a recreated people. Thirdly, John writes about the position of the Christian in the future. I think you can just look outside. We've gone over this before. There's a lot of fear out there today in the world. There's a lot of failing hearts out there. Not failing hearts, failing hearts. Mistyped, okay? See, man's outlook is not as bleak. Christ talks about end times. Luke chapter 21, verse 26, talk about the tribulation period and the second coming. And you can read Revelation, you can see what's going on in there. And folks, that stuff's real. Because everything in this book is truth.
Amen.
Okay? And here's what Christ talks about to His disciples. He says, this is the end. He says, men's hearts failing from fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is an age of fear and failing heart. But your Christian, our outlook should be totally different. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, it says here, herein is our love made what? Perfect or complete. That we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. First of all, we won't go through the world's judgment. That judgment was taken on the cross. But we will still have to stand and give account of our actions. Of what sort it is. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, this is a powerful statement, church. We really need to get a grasp of this. As He is, who's the He? Christ. As He is, so are we in this world. We don't wait to get to heaven to act like God. We act like God down here. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath what? Torment. This morning, the peace of, or yesterday in a prayer breakfast, you talked about the peace of God ruling in your heart. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's some element that you need to give faith to and get fear away. See, fear ends when faith begins. So the age of fear and failing hearts, nah, it's not coming. It's here.
Right.
It's here. I've lived a long time. Some of you lived even longer than me. But I've never seen the world in torment, so much torment and chaos as it is now. And it's just getting set up for the judgment. Secondly, our future is the surest thing in this life. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Christ says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Acts chapter 1, when Christ ascends up, and everybody's going, the angel comes back down and says, "Hey, why are you looking up there? The same Christ that went up is going to come back down. Get busy. Get busy. Be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Do what God told you to do. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait for Pentecost. And then you're going to see something." And they did. And they saw God work. Our future is the surest thing in this life. We should not live our lives as if we have no hope. So I close with this. Here's the contrast in the position of the unsaved. Right now they stand condemned before God. In John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him right now." If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you go out and you take your last breath, you go out in eternity, you're bound to hell. There is no second chance. There is no way of getting prayed out. There is no such thing as purgatory. It's done. You can't get back. And knowing that, we persuade men. And we tell people that you need to be saved. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. The position of the unsaved, they're the enemy of God because they're popular with the world. In James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or enemy of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Pretty strong language. The lost don't know God. They have no hope. They have no peace. They have no love. They have no future except a fiery indignation of the living God. The unsaved, their future is death, hell, and the lake of fire. Oh, you can't say that. You'll upset people. This is reality, folks. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. There's not going to be a party in hell. Christ told the people, he said, there is utter darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. But hell comes after the first spiritual death. There's another one coming for the lost, and it's called the second death. In Revelation 20, verses 15, 13 through 15, it says, and the sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and death and hell delivered up, or the grave and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Think of hell being bad. The lake of fire is much, much, much worse. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. See, everyone has an opportunity when they're born to get saved. But when you reject Christ and you pass into eternity, your name's blotted out. No more chance. If you get saved and you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the gift while you're here in this life, your name won't be blotted out and you're in the book of life and you're not going to be part of this. I want to leave you with this thought. Christ is the great position changer. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 19, he changed the position of 10 lepers, but only one came back. In John chapter 9, he changed the position of a man that was born blind and gave him eyes. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, he cleared a man of demons more than you could ever count. They knew, the demons knew who Christ was. The thief that was dying on the cross beside Christ understood who he was. And God changed his direction of eternity in a snap. And where he was going, he wasn't going there anymore. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. He climbed up in a tree. And Christ said, I'm going to change your life today. And he did. See, has he changed you? John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Don't play around with that. It's not a knowledge up here, down here. And if you have it down here, it'll change the way you live. And if you are saved and you're not living the right way, fix that tonight. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness, and restore us and have fellowship. But he also says this in 1 John 1. He says, if you walk in the darkness and you say you have fellowship with him, you lie. God wants fellowship with us tonight. What will it be, Christian? What will it be, person that does not know Christ? Come forward and we'll show you through God's word how you get saved. Don't leave here tonight without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't leave here tonight without having things forgiven and set right. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Just ask me this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to leave here, Lord, in fellowship with you, loving you with all of our heart. We give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.